This is The Urban Connection, the weekly show on issues that affect the community.
Billionaire Robert F. Smith made major headlines earlier this year with his generous pledge to pay off the student debt of Morehouse College's class of 2019. But our guest, inspirational author Suzette Webb, says you don't have to be a billionaire to pay it forward.
That's the one thing that he asked of that graduating class during his commencement address, was that they pay it forward. And I think it goes with the saying, I am my brother's keeper, right? And I'm a big proponent. You don't have to be a billionaire to make a difference in somebody else's life, because paying it forward can be contagious if you begin to do it.
I'm Leonard Birdsong. The Urban Connection starts right after this.
Now, The Urban Connection continues. Once again, here's Leonard Birdsong.
Many of you may know that a few weeks ago, a billionaire, an African-American billionaire, Robert F. Smith, stunned the 2019 class of Morehouse College by announcing that he would pay off all of their student loans. And in so doing, Smith's gesture brought about a backlash against another black billionaire, Oprah Winfrey. Now, Suzette Webb is our guest. She's going to tell us that fixing income equality is not just for billionaires. We want to hear from her. One of her sons is at Morehouse now, and another one has already graduated. Suzette, thank you for being on The Urban Connection. How are you?
Thank you, Leonard. I'm doing well today. Listen, the weather is great here in Chicago, so I'm doing really good.
Good to hear, because it's not always that great, huh?
No, it's not, and we've had a brutal winter. But I'm happy to be with you today.
Okay. Tell us about, I think everyone in our community knows about Robert Smith. He's
right.
An African-American billionaire, and he has given, you know, quite a gift to the Morehouse class of 2019,
right,
saying that he's going to pay all their student loans, about $40 million. You say that there's been a backlash, and we should learn that, you know, you don't have to be a billionaire to pay it forward.
That's absolutely correct, and that's the one thing that he asked of that graduating class during his commencement address, was that they pay it forward. Well, interestingly enough, Oprah Winfrey was giving a commencement address as well. And if I'm not mistaken, toward the end of that address, she gave out a book. And someone took to Instagram and made a post saying that Oprah, a billionaire herself, was certainly in a position to go ahead and pay that class's tuition off. And that just sparked something in me, because I thought it was heading down the wrong path. Well, of course.
That's for sure.
And Oprah didn't cave to the pressure. I mean, she snapped back pretty quickly and said, hey, I've already paid about $13 million in scholarships, and I've put over 400 men through school at Morehouse.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I thought what was really interesting, to just bring that whole story full circle, Oprah did pay the tuition for many young men to attend Morehouse College. And during the last season of the Oprah Winfrey Show, there were some graduates who came back to surprise her. And these graduates to whom she had paid their tuition, they in turn made a $300,000 donation back to the school.
Well, that's
so great. Isn't that something? That's the perfect example of coming full circle, paying it forward, and not heading down the path of, okay, this billionaire paid for this class, now this billionaire should step up and pay for this class. It's just thinking in the wrong vein, you know? And I think when you have a philanthropic gift of that magnitude, it's always going to spark a deeper discussion, right? And I participate in a lot of them, because my husband is a graduate of Morehouse, and my middle son is a graduate, and then my youngest son is a student there, you know?
Right.
So,
that's
and I got many calls.
That's a lot of Morehouse.
That's a lot of Morehouse. It's a lot of Morehouse.
But it's a great school, though. It's a great school.
It really is. And I think it goes with the saying, I am my brother's keeper, right? And I'm a big proponent. You don't have to be a billionaire to make a difference in somebody else's life, because paying it forward can be contagious if you begin to do it, you know? And there's so many things. That's why I thought tying income inequality, because that's a hot topic. And as we approach an election year, it's even more of a hot topic. And sometimes we look at reasons as to why we can't do more. But I think this is a perfect example of how we can do more. And I thought, just as a basics, and I know you've got an educated listening audience here, but to just put it simply, income inequality is a concentration of wealth in the hands of a few.
Right.
And I even did a little research to say what were some of those contributing factors to that. And it's kind of things that are in our day-to-day lives out of our control, like tax policies and stagnant wages and trade policy. Other than exercising our vote, we don't really have control over that, but we do have control over what can we do within our own means to make a difference in the life of another.
And that's why I have you on. You're going to tell us about some of them.
Well, yes, and you know, what I have found is that I come across people who are overworked and overscheduled, yet they still have a desire to make a difference in the lives of others. They're just kind of confused as to where to start. So part of my work is helping people step out in faith towards living a little bit more of a fulfilled life. I call it leaping from your comfort zone into your miracle. And in my book, Blues to Blessings, I have a bit of a 4-point system that I use to say, how do we get clarity about how I can begin to make a difference?
You are a little muffled there. Your book is Blues to Blessings, right?
Blues to Blessings, yes.
I've read it. It's a good book.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Leonard. So you know a little bit about the story, and of course the 4 proven steps that we talk about. I think the first step is just becoming more aware and beginning to trust your own inner voice, right? A lot of times we want to step out, but we're not really sure. That's where that doubting comes in. And my goal is to help people move from self-doubt to clarity. And so the first step is beginning to listen to and trust your gut and your inner voice to what you are, feel like you're being called to do. I don't know if you know the story of an executive who just came across young girls who were in homes and they were sleeping in their clothes overnight. Kids didn't, you know, pajamas was a luxury for them.
I haven't heard this story.
Yeah, and she was just so moved. Now here she is, an executive, but the fact of her providing pajamas for young girls in these foster homes, not foster homes, but the facilities themselves where they're housed before they go into a foster home, it just stayed on her heart. So then she starts this campaign of providing pajamas, something as simple as that. But now it's had a significant impact, and her name at the time escapes me. But that's what I mean, listening to that inner voice that says, you know, there's a greater calling. Doesn't mean I step down from my job, but it does mean that I am beginning to fulfill my life a little bit more by doing something for the less fortunate. The second piece real quickly is, you know, sometimes we have to overcome the need to save everyone so that we can step into what we've been called to do. And that leads me right into the third step, which requires us to sometimes make different choices. And the fourth step quickly is, you know, you've read my book, and in the beginning I start out about, oh, it's all about me. But when you step into work that's not so self-centered, you realize the service component that's a part of your life, too, if you choose to fulfill it, you know?
You were talking about making choices. I mean, do people make bad choices and they need to be making better choices? Is that what you're saying?
I think, you know, we become sometimes stagnant, and we don't move to make different choices. So we continue to do the same old thing, right? And we, and that can be humdrum. It can be unfulfilling. Sometimes we have to shake it up and say, you know, I'm going to have to make a different choice here. If I want, let's go back to the woman who was the executive. She didn't leave her job, but she probably had to make some different social choices. How am I going to spend my free time? Because this is pulling on my heart to make a difference in these young girls' lives by just providing them pajamas, just to let them know that they're cared about. And so, you know, she had to make choices about how she was spending her time and whether she was ultimately going to leave her corporate career and start this new venture, in which she did. So it's just, and you know, Leonard, I would pull an example where now I didn't even know I was going to share this story, where her name escapes me. But anyway, I'm sorry about that. But I think she's just a good example of sometimes you do reach that path in life where you do have to make a different choice if you want to begin to make a difference in the lives of others.
Well, let me stop you here and ask, have you done that? Now, yes, I've read your book. It's well written. I want people to know that you are a college graduate, and then you got an MBA from the Kellogg Graduate School at Northwestern University. You're a mother. You're an entrepreneur. You are a speaker, and you are a podcaster. I want you to have me on your podcast sometime. As well as the author of Blues to Blessings. So what did you do?
Well, one of the things that I did, now, I don't want to deviate too much here, Leonard, but you know my story. And I was sexually abused as a young girl, and that is something that I lived with and didn't tell a soul for many, many, many years. I was now wife, mother, graduate, all of that before I began to share what had happened. And one part of my work is I resisted healing in that process. I just felt like if it didn't kill me then, it's not going to bother me now. And I could not have been further from the truth. So I encourage other survivors to pursue the path of healing and full recovery so that they can really step into the fullness of their life, because I thought I was living the fullness of my life, and I couldn't have been further from the truth. So one way I help people, particularly women, is embrace whatever healing they need to do, whether that's therapeutic, whether that's group. There are multiple ways that you can move through, because what I ultimately want people to understand is your past had a purpose. And embrace it. Don't run from it. But now use that. That's another example of using maybe a horrible experience you've gone through to now help relieve the pain of another person.
More of the Urban Connection straight ahead. Stay tuned. Now, the Urban Connection continues. Once again, here's Leonard Birdsong.
We are speaking with author Suzette Webb about paying it forward. Teaching is what the choice I had to make. I had a wonderful career as in the diplomatic service for a while and in private practice. I was also a federal prosecutor for a while, but I got a chance 20 years ago to come to a new law school and help build it. And it was probably one of the most edifying things I ever have done, because I was teaching young people things that I took for granted because I'd done them so long,
right,
that they thought were wonderful. And they thought I was a great teacher. And, you know, basically I was just basically telling some of the things that they need to know
to be
a lawyer.
That's right.
Things that you never think about. You know, you got to do a lot of reading in law school, and you got to do a lot of writing.
Mm-hmm.
And but I tell them why you have to do that. You know,
That's
when I was in law school, no one told me that. I got through it, but then that aha moment didn't come through until I had to take the bar, and I realized how good a legal education I had.
That's
And I'm very proud to say I did retired.
And you have
from
the
full-time
Bar Leonard
teaching.
In a couple of different places.
Well,
I read that.
Ohio, the Virgin Islands,
that's
Washington,
right.
D.C. Yeah, mm-hmm. I practiced in all of those places and very proud of it. But I now see people in the newspaper and on television, students that I have trained, and it's great seeing that they're out there doing good work. As a matter of fact, I sometimes run into them in restaurants and things like that, and they always thank me for the help that I gave them. And I didn't realize I was helping them.
That's right.
I was just doing what I thought needed to be done. But
and
you
sometimes
know,
you make an excellent point, because sometimes it can be those very things that we take for granted. You don't necessarily have to go through a horrific experience to go on to help another person as well. It can be something we take for granted in everyday life. But I am a big proponent that social media is another thing that just kind of keeps up that monotony and just dissatisfaction in our lives. And I think
of course.
One
it's a
way.
It's a Pandora's box. You know
yes,
that,
it
don't
is.
You?
Yeah. Yes, I do. I do. It keeps you distracted in more ways than one. And I advocate for it in terms of staying connected and connecting with, you know, old friends and so on. But then there comes a limit to it. And that's one place I think we can make a different choices there in how we use that, in that it just doesn't consume our time so much that, you know, we look up this year and once again we've put the deepest desires of our hearts on the back burner once again.
Well, let me ask you this, Suzette. Do you still have Light of Mine, LOM, your company?
Yes, I do.
Are you still selling things to the government?
I am. I am to the government and also to some of the OEMs, which are the original equipment manufacturers, so to companies who manufacture the vehicles.
And we'll tell people more about it. I know what it is. What is LOM? What are you doing?
Well, you know,
lighting?
It's so interesting because, well, let me just share with the audience that LOM stands for Light of Mind. And I decided to make the leap more than 15 years ago from corporate to start my own business. And it started as a management consulting. I just said, you know, Father, I'll share with you, Leonard, you know the story because you read the book, but one night I went to my tub and draped my torso over and said, Lord, I'm putting my hand in yours. I'm going to take this leap of faith. I'm going to call this LOM, but LOM stands for Light of Mine. And I just felt like I had been dancing to everyone's tune long enough, and it was time for me to make a venture out there.
And let me tell people, it was a jacuzzi bathtub, too, right?
you remember the details. Yes.
I was a good lawyer. That's why I remember these little things.
You know, exactly. It has become my own little personal sanctuary in the house. Nothing beats a good church service on a Sunday morning, but when it's a Thursday and you got to wait days, I go in there, close the door, and drape my torso over and say, Lord, I need you to take this situation over, you know? Right. And so that's where Light of Mine was born. And we've been going strong for the last 12 years. Now, I didn't say going strong so much because, you know, obviously, we're not, for good reason, not at war.
Right.
You do better during times when there was a drawdown in Iraq and Afghanistan, as rightfully so we should have done. That's my personal opinion there. Even though I make more when we're at war, I believe we shouldn't be. But we've also begun to pivot away from just military vehicles to civilian vehicles as well to put lighting systems there.
Oh, very good. So you also are a speaker. Who invites you to speak?
Well, usually I started, you know, my book is a book about faith. So obviously I get invited to a lot of churches, but also women organizations and women who are entrepreneurs. I did a conference just a few months ago for 200 plus women who were, you know, women entrepreneurs. It was titled Women Who Win. And I talked to them about, you know, sort of the trials of being in business, but some of the things, the successes that I've had, certainly some of the lessons learned, because you don't get to, you know, I got the, but got the wounds to show it.
Leonard, yes, some of us have those scars on our back. They're invisible,
you know,
but they're
I'm
scars.
But I tell you, it's so true. If it doesn't kill you, it won't take you out.
It makes you stronger.
It'll make you stronger every time. So to women's groups, but then I'm also being now invited into companies because a lot of my talking points are around, obviously, spiritual and personal growth. But then also on the corporate business side, you know,
Well, that's where I thought you might be doing your most speaking, because not only that's where the money is, it seems like your message would be good for corporations. You went through corporations. You know that life.
That is absolutely correct. But, you know, one of the things I have to be careful because, let me take one step back. My husband is a numbers guy, and you read the book.
Yeah,
okay,
Webb.
We have not. Yeah, Webb. And by the grace of God, thank you, Lord, Webb and I will be married for 23 years this year. But
God,
I tell you, he's a numbers guy, and he never let me forget we are a two-income household. But sometimes when I say leap from your comfort into your miracle, their colorful career has now turned into a joyless job, and they are ready to make that leap. So HR professionals don't want me coming in talking to their group because they don't want to lose key talent, you know. So I have to talk on other topics because I might have a few of them following me out the door.
Well, I know you went out. You were not fired at one time. You just had to leave because you knew you couldn't do this anymore.
And that's right.
Your supervisor, your boss, was unhappy about it. He didn't put the pressure on you, and he didn't understand why you'd leave.
That's absolutely correct. You know, I had gone to, now in defense, the company's defense where I worked, they had gone through, now this is a Fortune 100 company, but they had gone through bankruptcy,
mm-hmm.
And so on. And so I had gone back to school, business school at Northwestern, at Kellogg, and I was being groomed. I was on this developmental path. And because we were in bankruptcy, there were certainly other priorities going on at the time. So I just kept being put on the back burner. But something was going on, and I think that's where we have another choice, because there's that feeling inside that you know you should take that step out, but you can't see around the corner, so you stay. And that's
yep.
one of the things I call quit and stay. So my heart and mind quit a long time ago, but because of the benefits and the secure salary, et cetera, I choose to stay. And I just couldn't stay in that environment anymore. I stayed as long as I could. And when I felt like I'm not the one to quit and stay, let's just say that.
All right. Well, listen, I'm running out of time. I guess I'm going to have to talk to you in the future because you have a lot to say, Suzette.
We haven't confused your audience by zigzagging from topic to topic. I hope they've been able to follow us and enjoy our talk, because I certainly have.
Well, you're a very dynamic woman. You've had some great experiences. Your book is Blues to Blessings, and it's on Amazon, and they can read it. I'd like to talk to you again. Thank you for coming on.
I would love that. And, Leonard, if I may say one other thing real quickly, they can also visit my site, bluestoblessings.com, and I have a little 3-minute quiz on there that says, am I willing to step out in faith towards my deeper desires? Take 3 minutes to find out the answer.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope people will take that. Suzette Webb, thank you so much for being on The Urban Connection. We'll be talking to you again. All right. This is Leonard Birdsong. This is The Urban Connection. We just finished speaking with Suzette Webb about what you can do to pay it forward. You don't have to be a billionaire.
That wraps up this episode of The Urban Connection with your host, Leonard Birdsong, a production of Syndication Networks of Chicago. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of The Urban Connection.